are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, February the 19th, and not an all-star starter. Anyway, this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I'm getting very damn old.
Thanks for listening, and getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done, but don't worry, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to get the sleep that you deserve. CBDPM blends melatonin and other sleep-promoting ingredients with 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. To make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we are going to talk about who didn't make the NBA Eastern Conference All-Star reserves and his chances of making it next week. Also going to talk about what the Pistons are up to this weekend and the college basketball game of the weekend to watch from Brother Brian. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow on Twitter at bshook12, and also the Play Michigan Twitter account, play_Michigan. I got all of it out of the way. Did it again. One take all the time. Good for me. But what do you think, Brother Brian? A nice birthday weekend coming up for you. Getting so damn old, as we all know. But a year older, and how are we feeling about that?
Yeah, it's the hopefully not so quickly inevitable march towards my demise, as I'm reminded every year about this time, and the snow, the dark, the wind.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dark week for me, man. It's a dark, dark week.
It's been a long year, I think, for a lot of us. We're coming up on, it'll be a few weeks. I'm getting ready for the Rudy Gobert one-year anniversary stories of March 11th. But yeah, I'm with you. What's the age where birthdays stop being fun and start being like, oh crap, it's another birthday? I'm thinking like early 30s, like maybe like 32, where it's like, it used to be like 25. That's great. My birthday weekend is going to be amazing. Going to get a couple right. kegs, you know, whatever. But now, anyway.
Yeah, I'd say early 30s as well. That's when they start to lose. You almost forget sometimes. Like, oh, my God, my birthday's next week. And, you know, when you're in elementary school, in college, you have a birthday month.
Yeah. Well, let's make it a little bit happier here on the Lockdown Pistons. Right. But happy birthday to you anyway. And all the listeners, give Brian a shout-out this weekend as well. But the Eastern Conference and Western Conference starters were revealed on Thursday night. No real surprises here, although I would have liked to see my boy Dame Lillard get a look in the Western Conference. But when you go up against Luka Doncic and Steph Curry, that's pretty tough to do. So out West, you got Luka and Steph and some guy named LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, and Kawhi Leonard are the five. Tough to argue with that five. I think they would beat most fives in a game of hoops. But then you got Kyrie Irving. Brad Beal, after getting snubbed last year is from the game completely, is now a starter. Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid are the five starters. Now we know that there will be a captain's pick, and LeBron James will be one side, and Kevin Durant will be the captain on the other side, and they'll choose up those starters, and then they'll choose up the reserves for who's going to be on their team. As far as I know, they're still playing this All-Star game March 7th in Atlanta, so coming soon as well. And Brother Brian, before we get into Jeremy Grant and the voting totals, which I find very interesting, what do you think about these fives on both sides?
There's really not much to argue about with any of these. The thing that kind of jumped out to me was Bradley Beal being the top guard in the East, but I think a lot of that had to do with the momentum he maybe got from being snubbed last year. Getting number one in the Eastern Conference backcourt fan ranks, player ranks, and media ranks. So I think some people were looking to correct what they felt might have been a wrong last year with Bradley Beal. But again, I don't see anything really that jumps out or is anything that surprising with these 10 players. And man, these two teams would be really fun to watch go at it.
Yeah. And it's tough to watch James Harden not get on that five, but then you'd have three Nets if he takes over for Beal, and they're very good. You know, they're right up again with the top teams in the Eastern Conference right now, on fire playing the Lakers as we speak here on the late game TNT Thursday night as we record this. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks, man, they are struggling right now. Took one on the chin from the Toronto Raptors tonight. But yeah, I mean, I got no quibbles either. Like I said, James Harden, the way that his first part of his season went with the shenanigans in Houston and coming in a little bit out of shape, now such a productive player. I mean, we're when I mentioned Dame Lillard and James Harden, those will be the first guys added as reserves in the next portion, which I believe is Tuesday. They will announce the reserves, and the reserves are chosen by the coaches, who have nothing to do with the starters who were picked. You mentioned how the players, the fans, and the media picked the starters. And I believe it is fans 50%, media 25%, and player 25%. So I pulled up on the NBA PR site really interesting numbers here from these. And I know that it is out there a little bit in terms of what they were ranked. But Jeremy Grant, obviously the one that we're keeping a close eye on here, considered a front court player in the Eastern Conference naturally, was 7th in the player ranking, 10th in the fan ranking, and tied for 7th in the media ranking. Now, what tied for 7th means in the media ranking is tied for last, that they had four players on a sheet that you saw probably on Twitter or other places throughout the night. But 7th means he was tied with me for 7th, and Brother Brian tied for 7th. So he got 0 points from the media. The media kept it tight and just voted for, I think, six players for the Eastern Conference front court. But the rankings from the fans and the players are legit rankings, in that Jeremy Grant got the 10th most votes, 427,925 from fans for Eastern Conference front court starter. And what I thought was the most interesting thing about this whole thing was Jeremy Grant was 7th in the player rankings, ahead of Julius Randle, ahead of Domantas Sabonis, very much ahead of Gordon Hayward, who was 15th in the Eastern Conference player voting. And that kind of tracks a little bit with me, because players, you know, the word is out about Jeremy Grant, and they knew he was good before from, you know, LeBron's respect that he gave to him in the bubble. And I think players kind of noticed that what Grant did this offseason, betting on himself, putting him in that position. And just interesting to me that, you know, Gordon Hayward got the $30 million contract. Everyone laughed about that. He's playing either up to that or close to up to that with the Charlotte Hornets. And Jeremy Grant, not as many people laughed about that contract, but a lot of people did laugh about that contract. And he's playing at that or above that for so far for the Detroit Pistons. So strange that Grant gets so much respect from the players, and Hayward seems to be a little bit disrespected from players around the league. Is that kind of your read about some of those numbers too?
Yeah, I found it really refreshing that Jeremy Grant ranked as high as he did with the player ranks. I don't know why I put a lot of stock into that. I think the fan rank is more of a popularity contest. Being from a mid-market team like Detroit and kind of coming out of, you know, seemingly nowhere in the NBA landscape and not getting the attention drawn to him that players from Detroit or a inconsequential team when it comes to the standings at this point anyway, wasn't very surprising. But to see him get the respect from the players, I found really refreshing. Gordon Hayward's just always been a weird one. I did have the same thought that the two most widely panned contracts of the offseason are two guys who have lived up to or exceeded the value of those contracts. And I think it just goes to show you exactly how much stock we should put into draft grades, offseason grades in the moment before we see what the product actually looks like on the court, and what these, you know, guys who are paid to make these decisions, whose jobs are on the lines to make these decisions. And when they make these decisions, they seem to know more than fans more often than not.
And it's a lot of groupthink too, right? Twitter just kind of goes one way with a lot of these things. And certainly I'm guilty of it, just like a lot of other people. But I had a buddy of mine, one of my best friends, Nick Carboni, he's been on the show before. He's a sports broadcaster in Charlotte. And, you know, the Hayward contract was a day or so after the Grant contract. And everyone's making fun of the Gordon Hayward contract. And he's texting me saying, hey, teams like Charlotte and Detroit, they got to overpay for guys. And it's, it sucks and it looks bad. And everyone wants to make fun of the Pistons and the Hornets because it's really easy to do, especially with the Pistons and the Hornets these past few years and going into this season. And well, I guess what, you know, now it's not so easy as the Charlotte Hornets are throwing in everyone's face with the Gordon Hayward contract. They got a LaMelo Ball, who's a front runner for Rookie of the Year right now, throwing that in my face right now. And Jeremy Grant certainly playing with a chip on his shoulder plus right now with what he's able to do with the Pistons. Also worth noting, by the way, as I'm pulling up tabs, I got a lot of different things pulled up here. The All-Star voting, if I can find that once again. Interesting to note that a lot of the players use this as a joke. It's not taken seriously by a lot of the players as we look at the numbers. Now, Jeremy Grant getting 34 votes and getting seventh on the player ranking, I assuming that those are legitimate votes. No one's making a joke and voting for Jeremy Grant. And not to say that all the other votes are jokes. Maybe they are respectful nods towards a veteran teammate like Blake Griffin got 5 votes from players this year. There's no world that Blake Griffin should be starting in the All-Star game. Mason Plumlee got 3 votes this year, a well-respected veteran. Again, I'm not implying that those are jokes or necessarily that there's anything even wrong with that. Josh Jackson, 1 vote. Sekou Doumbouya, 3 votes from players to be a starter in the NBA All-Star game. Jahlil Okafor, 1 vote as well. Isaiah Stewart did not get a vote, unfortunately. But some players, again, are just coming in here and saying it would be funny if I voted for that 20-year-old French kid on the Pistons to start the game. Sadiq Bey, 3 votes. I don't know if I mentioned him or not. But still, like I said, I think that's an irrelevant point to what Jeremy Grant compiling 34 votes. You know, Durant, Antetokounmpo, Embiid, those are the guys that got the most votes from the players. Those are not jokes, obviously. But interesting nonetheless to see that the Pistons were among dozens of players who got a couple or a handful of votes here and there.
Well, I think the point you made at the beginning of that is the one that gets understated a lot, and attracting players like Jeremy Grant or Gordon Hayward to markets like Detroit and Chicago. You know, when was the last time that the Pistons were able to go out and get the top free agent in an offseason? Now, I know it's an offseason where there wasn't a ton of top-end talent, but the best free agent of the offseason was attracted and came to Detroit. Now, we know James Edwards' article early in the year maybe pointed to some reasons outside of on the court or the city itself that would have attracted him to Detroit. But again, just kudos to Troy Weaver for going out, you know, taking a big shot at the biggest target this offseason and landing it. And then double kudos to Jeremy Grant for coming in, knowing that the contract was widely panned by NBA media and fans around the country, and not letting that get to him, or maybe using that as motivation a little bit, but going out on the court and outperforming a contract that everybody initially thought that they had overpaid for, and playing with a level of composure too that I noticed in that Chicago game, that even when calls go against him, it's not him against the world. It's all about him, the team, and he really excels within the construct of the team.
A very even keel guy, extremely, and that's an important skill to have for a player come clutch moments in big games. 427,000 plus votes for him, 71,000 plus votes for Blake Griffin. Mason Plumlee with 6,232 fan votes, I'm talking about. Josh Jackson, 4,759. Sadiq Bey edges out Sekou, 2,881 to 2,855. I don't know. These aren't that important or interesting, but to me, for some reason, I'm into it. Jahlil Okafor, 1,359. Might be some Duke fans out there. Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart, and I'm going to give credit to, I think, the Beef Stew Twitter account, probably most of those, 1,613 for the amount of votes for Isaiah Stewart. So good stuff there. Now, more importantly, Jeremy Grant, will he be going to Atlanta? Is he going to be a reserve in the All-Star game? We got to give a thumbs down to Kevin Pelton of ESPN.com. He listed off some of the players that will be considered for reserves. You got the Jimmy Butler question because he's only played about half the games for the Heat this year. Under normal circumstances, certainly an all-star caliber player. But this year, they're struggling. He's not really playing. Jaylen Brown and Trae Young, you could pretty much mark those guys in. Other players that were mentioned by Kevin Pelton, Bam Adebayo, Chris Middleton, Domantas Sabonis, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, and then other, he put another category out there, Malcolm Brogdon, Tobias Harris, Gordon Hayward, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, Fred VanVleet, Nikola Vucevic. Who did he not mention? Jeremy Grant. Didn't even mention him in his article. Now, that's wrong. Now, we'll see how many guys opt out of going to Atlanta. I know that there's some murmurs about that. I haven't heard anything more specific about that. But one way or another, Jeremy Grant has a chance to go to Atlanta. We'll see how realistic it is. And I think that there are some possibility, you know, like I said, a couple of those guys you can pencil in for Eastern Conference reserves, and then we'll see how it kind of crumbles after that. But there is a decent chance that Jeremy Grant gets in. But then as one of those like injury replacement type of guys, he could still stamp his ticket to Atlanta as well. What do you think, Brian? Will he make it? Will he be playing in the All-Star game in Atlanta, regardless if he's chosen next week initially as a reserve?
I have a feeling that no, he won't. I think the NBA will, I don't want to say put pressure on, but highly influence players to be a part of it if they are chosen, because they don't want to have as many as reserves as, or as many replacements as probably would happen if they weren't aggressively promoting this game. One player that kind of surprised me in all this was Zach LaVine. I get the fan rank, he plays in Chicago, but we just come off a game where, you know, Zach LaVine's team did beat Detroit, but Jeremy Grant was going up against Zach LaVine a lot at the end, and both teams played both players played extremely well down the stretch. But I think Jeremy Grant, you know, put up the 43, had a couple more points, and it was just really interesting to see me that Zach LaVine was the fourth ranked Eastern Conference backcourt player ahead of players like Trae Young, Jaylen Brown, Russell Westbrook, and tied in the player rank with James Harden as well.
Yeah, and making the point for Jeremy Grant that certainly these guys are having breakout offensive seasons and leading mediocre to bad teams right now, but Jeremy Grant plays both sides of the floor. Zach LaVine isn't the two-way type of player that Jeremy Grant is. So a lot of interest there. We'll see how it goes. I got a funny feeling, given that the coaches are the ones that choose in the Eastern Conference, I think a guy like Jeremy Grant is like a coach's player. Like, I mean, you got to just love coaching Jeremy Grant. I think some coaches that have coached against the Pistons this year have seen it firsthand, watched the film. I mean, these guys are the dorks. They know what's going on with the league more so than even you and I and people that are watching and betting on games every night. So I wouldn't be shocked if Jeremy Grant some way, somehow is playing in Atlanta on March 7th. But up next, who will the Pistons be playing this weekend? A couple of interesting games against teams that I kind of enjoy watching as an innocent bystander, although the Magic have all sorts of players out. We'll tell you about that. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and the Pistons are back in action in Memphis on Friday. Memphis is a 5-point favorite with a game number of 222. Looking at the money lines, Detroit is plus 175 and Memphis is minus 200. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
We're covering everything you need to know about the Pistons, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I mean, those news types of podcasts where they're short in the morning while you're commute, maybe just while you're getting ready for whatever you're doing for the day, those are the way to go these days. Those quick little things, that's what we do here on Locked On Pistons for you as well. And brother Brian's going to have the college game to watch this weekend. But first, in the lines of giving you the quick information you need, he He's also got some details on this weekend's Pistons action.
And they're going down to Graceland tonight to take on the Memphis Grizzlies to answer the eternal question that Dave Chappelle asked over a decade ago. Where is Ja? As the Pistons are going to...
We're going to find him.
Yeah, we could see if we can find him. I'm sure he'll be front and center because he does lead, very talented point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies, almost 19 points a game, over 8 assists. The guy just runs the offense. He does it well. He gets to the rack. He's coming off an injury earlier this year. Yeah, it was. It looked a lot worse than it was, thankfully. I've always promoted the fact or been a believer in the fact that this guy is going to end up having a better and longer individual career than Zion Williamson just because of the body type of Zion. I would have gone with John Morant as the number one pick last year, but he's one of my favorite players in the NBA to watch.
Yeah, Zion put up the numbers against the Pistons the other night, and he's continuing to put up numbers. Zion's playing really well right now, but he just doesn't look like the same player that he did against Duke. And you got to believe the maybe a little bit of the conditioning, but the knee injuries as well. But yeah, John Morant back in the lineup and doing his thing right now. Unfortunately for local fans, Jaren Jackson is out with the knee surgery, so he's obviously not playing this weekend. The Michigan State player there, but another local guy will be in the mix as well.
Yeah, Xavier Tillman was drafted by them. He's playing. He's averaging 8 points a game, grabbing almost 5 rebounds a game for them. But some other players that are a little more consequential for them, big man Jonas Valanciunas, averaging over 16. Dylan Brooks, interesting about him as I was doing some research earlier this week, or I guess it was last week when the Dennis Smith Jr. Move was made. Dylan Brooks is the only player in the second round of that 2017 draft to average over double digits in the NBA so far.
Yeah, and the Memphis Grizzlies is one of my favorite teams that the Pistons play up against because you only get the 2 meetings each year against the Western Conference team. So I love watching the Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson when he's out there. Brandon Clark was one of my favorite players in that draft last year. If you listen to the show, you know that I was all about Brandon Clark. Not quite as much as Sekou and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, but Clark was kind of right there with me. But Desmond Bane is another rookie out of TCU who's playing well. I believe the very last pick of the first round ended up in a trade and went to Memphis and is playing well there as well. So, you know, a lot to like with the future of this Memphis Grizzlies team. They're in the West, so they're having a tough go of it, 12-12 right now. But a team to watch and a team that, you know, John Morant continues to develop throughout the season, you would expect that this team ends up probably in that play-in situation again in that 7-10 range there in the Western Conference. But a fun team to watch, and I'm looking forward to that one tonight, 8 o'clock in Memphis. Yeah,
in Memphis. And one player you didn't mention, one of the more disliked players in the NBA that's on the team and does average over 10 points a game for them is Grayson Allen. What are your thoughts on Grayson Allen? Are you Grayson
Allen
fan?
Big Grayson Allen. No, I hate Grayson Allen. He's a Duke guy and he's Grayson Allen. So yeah, you can cross him off my list for sure. Not on my Pistons wish list. I'm also seeing Tim Frazier on the bottom of this list of Grizzlies.
He hasn't gotten in very often.
Yeah, 3 games played this year. Former Piston Timmy Frazier, third string point guard from last year or year before. It all blends together. Him and Steve Blake, I don't know. It's like a run of third string point guards, Dwight Bikes, Jameer Nelson. The list goes on and on of Pistons third point guard legends. But then Sunday, the start of a away and away series down in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, the first of 2 at the Amway Center on Sunday at 7 o'clock. They will be taking on the Orlando Magic, who've just been riddled with injuries all year. We remember the Markelle Fultz injury just 8 games into the year that was just devastating for a guy who looked like he was really kind of turning his career around. The Orlando Magic had a rough start to the year there. They're 11-18. They are led by Nikola Vucevic and Evan Fournier, both averaging around 20 points a game. Vucevic 23, Fournier 18, and Terrence Ross is another player who's playing really well for them.
Vuce is one of the more underrated players in the NBA, getting 23 points a game and 11.6. He can fill it up from outside. He's also fundamental inside. He's developed into such a really nice player. You wonder if he's ever going to get a chance to play on a good team. You know, there's a ceiling there for him to be your best player. That's probably not a great place to be. And again, we talk about these teams that are a little bit of a cautionary tale on the rebuild, right? good pick, solid pick after solid pick, good players, good players. Aaron Gordon, he's out this weekend, but another good player. Terrence Ross, one of the best bench players these last several years in the NBA. They made a nice move to pick up Markelle Fultz. He's out. Cole Anthony, it looks like a nice rookie for them. A lot of guys on Pistons Twitter liked him going into the draft. He's out right now this weekend as well. Just Jonathan Isaac's out for the entire year after getting hurt in the bubble. One of the best defensive prospects in the NBA. They swung and missed with Mo Bamba so far. So the margin for error is slim for these young guys, and swing and miss on a draft pick here. And the chemistry doesn't work quite there. And where's your defensive stopper? And it just kind of dovetails into this mediocrity situation that the Orlando Magic are in right now. Add some injuries into that mix, and they're at 11-18, and they might be a team that contends with the Pistons at the very bottom of the NBA when all is said and done. I mean, they're just 2.5 games ahead of Detroit right now, but they're still that middle. I mean, they might end up at the bottom of the play-in tournament as well, too. So, and either way, you know, who cares, right? I mean, it's the Pistons 2 years ago and last year and 3 years ago. It's just kind of this team floating in the middle, and you wonder if the Isaac injury forces them to take a step backwards, maybe sees what you can get on the trade market for Vucevic at some point. I know that's a big number to move to. Aaron Gordon's always been a guy who's been involved in trade rumors, but a team, again, where are you going if you're the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, and for our wagering listeners out there, tomorrow night's game, Memphis is a 5-point favorite. The game number of 222. The info for the Sunday game obviously hasn't opened yet. Follow us at Locked On Pistons on Twitter for that information. The game tonight is at 8 o'clock, taking a backseat to the Red Wings again, because it's on Fox Sports Detroit Plus and 9:50 a.m. WWJ. The game on Sunday will tip off at 7 from Amway Center. That one is back on Fox Sports Detroit, but also again on WWJ 9:50 a.m.
And I'm a Red Wings guy now, so the Florida Panthers in town this weekend, and that's the big one. Just kidding, of course, but, two games with the Magic. You mentioned Sunday night and then Tuesday night. It's one of the series down there. And the Magic are a team, the 538.com has that now 29-43. Well clear of the Pistons. 6 games projected between these two in the standings at the end of the year. But like I said, there's a little bit of chances that the bottom falls out on Orlando, and this is a team you might see towards the bottom of the NBA. So, and again, you root how you want to root if you're a fan. I'm not going to tell you how to root for wins or root for losses, but a sweep of the Magic on the road Sunday and Tuesday could be something that would be detrimental to the Pistons draft odds. I'm just going to throw that out there. Again, root however you want to root. Not going to tell you how to live your life, but that might not be the best scenario for the Pistons next week. But talking about some of the decent scenarios for the Pistons, some draft prospects are out there, and Brother Brian's going to tell you who to watch this weekend. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first, guys, got to tell you about a flash sale, a very special sale going on right now for the Coconut Puff Bar. That's right. Built Bar has a brand new flavor, and it is outstanding. Luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow. I think that was my two nicknames back in high school, luscious chocolate and soft marshmallow. But the Coconut Puff Bar is made with premium collagen protein blend, 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 6 grams of sugar. It was gluten-free, it's preservative-free, and this is for a limited time only. Sometimes these sales pop up, you got to make it happen real quick. I get the text from Built Bar. I'm trying to order some of these, and they're all sold out by the time I get around to it. I'm telling you, these sales and these items are worth the investment, and it's not much of an investment at all. Limited time only, 1-day sale for Coconut Puff Bar. Get on this right now. BuiltBar.com, Coconut Puff Bars. You will not be disappointed. Check out Locked On NBA. Join Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers and Adam Mares of Locked On Nuggets for a wrap-up of the biggest stories around the league. Anthony and Adam bring you game recaps, weekend previews, and a weekly NBA power ranking that you can't miss. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get your podcast. Brother Brian joining us, as he always does, Fridays with Brian, and a little bit of a looser conversation than we normally have here on Locked On Pistons. Brother Brian is in mourning and celebration of his big birthday coming up this weekend. But more importantly than that, no offense, the college game to watch this weekend, as you do every week, tell us who we should keep an eye on at the NCAA ranks.
Well, this will be on the birthday on Saturday here. Well, and another thing, the Tigers opened up spring training camp with Tigers or with pitchers and catchers reporting here on Wednesday. So I figured let's go down south and look at a couple of Tigers as the Auburn Tigers are going to Baton Rouge to take on the LSU Tigers in a matchup between two guards, one Sharif Cooper, who's 6'1", 180 pounds. He's a freshman. He really good at getting to the rack. He's averaging almost 20 points a game, almost 9 assists, really good distributor of the ball. He's a fun player to watch. A little undersized, obviously. The three-point shooting isn't there. It's under 25%, but a little bit of ray of light around that is he does shoot 82% from the free throw line. So there is some shooting talent there. So hopefully maybe that can develop into a weapon. He's kind of an end of the lottery talent for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah. And a guy that seems like he's rising a little bit too. Tankathon right now has him at number 13 in the draft as a like you said, a 6'1" point guard. So he's obviously got a lot of skills and a lot of talent, but looking at the Tankathon list, I'm surprised to see Franz Wagner all the way up to number 14 on the Tankathon list right now. He dropped 20 on Thursday night as the number 3 Michigan Wolverines get the win against Rutgers 71-64. Exciting times ahead for Juwan Howard and the boys, 15-1 right now. But tell us about that LSU Tiger.
Yeah, Sharif Cooper's going to be taking on Cameron Thomas, the guy who's averaging 23 points a game. He's a guy who can get to the rim, finishes well at the rim. Another guy that you see this a lot with a lot of these guys coming out of college, younger guys, he's shooting under 30% from 3-point. But again, the shooting touch is there because he's shooting over 90% from the free throw line. And so you think again that hopefully that can develop into something that's really become a necessity in the NBA lately. Both these guys are really going to have to work on that, but it's going to be a Saturday matchup. We've got that game at 4 o'clock on ESPN. It's the Auburn Tigers at the LSU Tigers on my birthday, February 20th.
Obviously, a couple of football schools down south that have produced some NBA lottery picks, you know, Isaac Okoro and then Ben Simmons and LSU. So these Alabama's had a couple of guys picked in the lottery these last few years too. So, yeah, I mean, there's been some guys coming from these SEC football schools. Anthony Edwards, you can throw into that mix as well, out of Georgia. So maybe they're doing something down south to attract these great recruits. Maybe who knows? Who knows what can be going on at some of those schools down south? But yeah, nice to see it once again. We don't know if Cameron Thomas and Cooper will be going up against each other, play in and play out, but certainly at times they will be going up against each other as a couple of freshmen that are making some moves there in the SEC. And Brother Brian tells us all about it 4 o'clock on Saturday there. Anything else, any other words of wisdom to pass along as you look forward to another year?
Well, just something about the college games. If you followed us along through the college games, I was just kind of looking outside of some of the foreign prospects that come up to the first round. We've kind of touched on every first round person, at least by Tankathon standards there. The one name that we might have to circle back to, hopefully, and it was somebody else I was looking at, is James Booknight, who we had said to take a look at, but he actually, you know, got hurt the game previous, so he didn't actually play in the game that we asked you to watch him in. He's playing also this weekend against Villanova on Saturday afternoon on Fox. So maybe if you want to check that out, if you can't make the 4 o'clock game a little bit earlier, check out James Booknight. And you should be prepared for knowing who these guys are in the first round of the draft.
Yeah, LSU, a team on the bubble right now, according to Joe Lenardi at ESPN.com. So you might have some more chances for them, but Auburn and Cooper, I mean, this might be it. This is a 500 team that probably isn't going to make the NCAA tournament. Another guy that's moved up the boards is Corey Kispert of Gonzaga, the second fiddle to Jalen Suggs there, kind of a role-playing guy who can do really has developed throughout his career. He's a senior, and to see a senior at the top of these lists and in the lottery right now is obviously very unusual. But, yeah, it's kind of rounding into form. Jalen Johnson, his season is done at Duke. He left Duke right now, so he's called it a season already. You might see some other guys doing that. But yeah, it seems like that top four has solidified, Cunningham being number one, and then some some order of Mobley, Suggs, and Kuminga after that. Jalen Green kind of on the outside looking in of that top four right now. Jalen Johnson, again, his season is over. So it's rounding into form. Obviously, Pistons fans keeping a very close eye on that. But LSU-Auburn, the game to watch this weekend, and plenty of Franz Wagner, hopefully, the rest of the season. And, of course, the Gonzaga guys, Mobley at USC is going to play in the tournament. So, and then the G League Ignite team as well. We'll be taking some more looks at them before the bubble situation ends down there in Orlando. But that'll do it for us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I am host Matt Shook. He is Brother Brian. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Wolverines. Isaiah's going to tell you about that big win against Rutgers. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday. Feliz cumpleaños, amigo.